Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
This morning on the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy. It's the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Obviously, getting to play with Aaliyah, that lights your eyes up as a point guard. But yeah, I think it's just exciting. They want to get back to their winning ways. Obviously, championship pedigree there, and what Lynn has done has been absolutely incredible. So I can't imagine a better place. Obviously, it's the Midwest. Everybody knows it's going to be a hard ticket to get. So you've had them, haven't got your tickets yet. You better get them now. I'm excited.
It's amazing. I cannot believe that many people are here for the draft party. It's such an exciting moment. We're thrilled to select with the first pick, Caitlin Clark.
I'm very lucky to be going there to an organization that really loves women's basketball. I mean, you see it today. I think they had 17,000 tickets claimed to just watch the draft. I think that shows the excitement in Indianapolis. It's a great basketball city. Obviously, what the Pacers have been able to do this year is special in the playoffs. And yeah, I think I'm just excited. And like you said, there's a lot of young talent on the team. And, you know, just getting back to the playoffs and doing everything we can to win a lot of basketball games is certainly the goal.
Indy, are you ready for? That is the song choice from Mark Dykton there, courtesy of one and only Taylor Swift, and the Caitlin Clark mania is now official on the city of Indianapolis in the state of Indiana. Good Tuesday morning to you. Rick Carlisle at 8 o'clock. If Lynn Dunn has stopped partying, she will join us coming up at 9 o'clock. It is a basketball-heavy Tuesday morning with you. We'll continue our Colts on the Clock series as well, coming up a little bit later. But the biggest secret in Indiana sports world, I guess, of hinting at it and hinting at it, became official about 7:40 last night, and that is Caitlin Clark, Andy Sweeney, coming to the Indiana Fever with the number one overall pick.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. I see you sporting your Fever long sleeve. I like that. A little microfiber for Kevin Bowen this morning.
Nice morning long sleeve.
I do.
Another
like
beautiful
that
day. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Rocking a little Fever gear.
Should be a fantastic day and a fantastic night for the Fever with all the people they obviously had there in Gainbridge and everyone watching, and the excitement of getting Caitlin Clark. And boy, Caitlin Clark said the right thing. She said, get your tickets now, basically. Peddling tickets, which exactly is what the Fever wanted. But a fun night last night. I know many people enjoyed it. Now, your wife and your daughter, they went to a watch party, if I'm not mistaken. So how did that go? Any insight on that?
They did go to a watch party. It was lively. Rosie came home with a basketball. She was absolutely thrilled.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
On that. So very, very happy with that. Maddie won a knockout competition against several former college basketball players. Her jump shot looked great.
Apparently so.
We do shoot in the backyard on occasion.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you miss and the person behind you, if they miss and the rebound comes off to you, does she knock their ball aside to where it goes rolling down the driveway? Or is she a nice sport, unlike us?
I did watch video of it. There was some feistiness out there.
Good. That's what I like to see.
There was some TJ McConnell picking up full court there in the knockout game. But, you know, I've said this when the lottery happened and the Fever got the number one overall pick, certainly with Caitlin Clark declared. I was a little surprised last night. Lynn Dunn said 50-50 shot that she thought Caitlin Clark would declare. That was kind of surprising to me. She talked back, you know, when that declaration happened, she almost fell off the couch. But, you know, I truly mean this, Andy, and I don't think I'm speaking in hyperbole at all. I don't think I have this job or certainly have the passion for sports media, or however you want to describe it, without Peyton Manning, without Reggie Miller. They were such just like instrumental, you know, role models. I think that's a fair word or phrase to use for me as a really young child into my teenage years. And, you know, Tamika Catchings came onto the scene, you know, what, like 13, 14 years into my time on Earth, if you will. But again, she didn't have 36 of her 40 games on national TV. So for young girls out there, for my daughter, for Mark's daughters, I mean it's just I don't know if you can really truly put into words what that means. And, you know, Caitlin, I think, is very honest and like, you know, I was inspired to dream. And that is just awesome that I think in our market, I think back to the coach we had on from the Stony Brook Middle School team a few months ago and talking about what Aaliyah Boston means to his players. And now Caitlin Clark on top of that. Just what a time. And I think it's absolutely awesome for young girls out there. And selfishly, we benefit from it immensely with our city and our state. So I can't wait for it all to get underway. It's crazy. It's less than a month. And you already see the fame in just two ways. Like, we are trying to get Caitlin Clark on this show this morning. I would say it's probably unlikely. Last year, Andy, we had Aaliyah Boston on the show en route to Good Morning America. You know, if you think about it last night, Darren Revelle had this tweet. Fanatics sold out all of their Caitlin Clark jerseys within an hour from extra small to double XL.
You followed Darren Revelle? I'm a little bit surprised you followed Darren Revelle.
I think it was a retweet on my feed.
That's what I thought. Right.
If I could cop out there. those are just little glimpses of the fame of Caitlin Clark. And we obviously have seen it a lot in Big Ten country, and now we're going to see it firsthand here.
I did love in one of her press conferences, I don't know if it was her actual press conference after being drafted or, you know, the immediate ESPN availability that, you know, they stick a mic in your face immediately. Holly Rowe did there on the draft coverage, but she did laugh, did Clark, on, you know, some great crowds when we faced off against the Indiana Hoosiers. But some of those Hoosier fans, they don't like me very much, so hopefully they can start liking the Fever. And I just thought it was fantastic. You know, when Dunn's on with us, I want to ask her, you know, she knows her product, but a lot of people don't know their product, right? People have seen Caitlin Clark, but they haven't totally followed every step. They haven't watched as many games of Caitlin Clark. They watched some in the tournament and some of the big ones, no doubt, during the season. And ESPN and other media entities did a pretty good job, obviously, pushing that, and they understood the popularity. But, you know, you mentioned whether it be Mark, your daughters, it be UKB, it be any of that. It's like, you know, there's going to be people around the country that haven't ever seen the Indiana Fever, right? Or have seen precious little of the Indiana Fever, and they're going to get a chance now. So that's one thing I want to ask her about. And then, you know what I noticed last night? You'll like this. You know what I noticed last night about the coverage, about the WNBA draft coverage? Now, listen, I have to be honest. I'm not exactly dialed in to the WNBA draft every single year. I know that's probably a surprise to you guys. But you know what I noticed the most about it last night is how different it is than what we're going to see in a couple weeks on the NFL side. And here's what I mean. On the NFL side, and this is more of a man thing, We're this guy's going to be a bust. This guy stinks. I don't understand why this guy, you know, why this team took this guy or whatever. I mean, we immediately go into analysis. Last night, on the women's side, they're so uplifting to each other.
Yeah, Holly Rowe, I think, had the same start to every interview.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just everything. Oh, that's a great pick.
You don't see Rebecca Lobo yelling at Lynn Dunn like Bill Pullen, or what was it, Vince Tobin back in the day with Mel Kiper?
Before, you know, like a decade ago, maybe not even that, 6, 7, 8 years ago, when they traveled, you know, when they took the NFL draft on the road, what was it? It was Jets, Giants, and Eagles fans booing every single pick, booing the commissioner, booing the families, booing every single pick. And I was watching last night, and it's like, this is a great pick. Here's why it's a great pick. You know, she's great at this. She's so uplifting in that. They were all uplifting to each other. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I've ever been in a male-dominated situation that has been so damn uplifting. But a great night last night, obviously.
Yeah, I transitioned very quickly to, like, I watched Caitlin Clark's Zoom press conference and kind of centered my attention around that. So I didn't watch a ton of the coverage after that. But I thought a couple things also stood out to me. You know, I guess watching Clark a little bit more, like, late in the Big Ten season, a little bit of the Big Ten tournament, certainly the NCAA tournament, I walk away like, damn, she does not get enough credit for her passing.
Like, that's the thing that really, obviously we all see the volleyball line threes, and that was something she mentioned last night. And, you know, Andy, she doesn't walk into, like, the San Antonio Spurs for Wembanyama, where it is Wembanyama and a bunch of nobodies around him. She walks into a team that has one of the best post players in the WNBA already in Aaliyah Boston. And Kelsey Mitchell, we're talking about an all-star wing. So it's not like barren by any means. And at the same time, and she acknowledged this on different occasions last night, you know, we've got to get a winning organization back to being winning. I don't know if, you know, I don't know how much our listeners closely follow the Fever. Andy, they've been an absolute joke WNBA.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
over the last handful of seasons. For those unfamiliar with how the WNBA works, 8 of the 12 teams make the playoffs, which is head-scratching to me. 75% of the teams make the postseason. The Fever haven't made it in 7 years. 75% of the league makes it.
I know.
7 years. Like, that is a joke.
It is a joke.
So,
right.
You know, it is about damn time that it changes. And you would think, I would hope, with a Clark and a Boston and a Mitchell and an Erica Wheeler and an Alyssa Smith, and we'll see where Lexi Hall and Grace Berger fit into things, you would hope this team gets back to the postseason right away. But certainly the scenes from Gainbridge last night, I mean, Fever averaged, what, 4,000 fans a game last year, and you got double that, it seemed like, inside of Gainbridge Fieldhouse to watch TV.
I mean, that's basically what you were doing. Yeah.
So, again, another sign of what her fame is. I know many people have asked me, like, hey, is she going to be waving the, you know, green flag at the Indianapolis 500? For what it's worth, they play in Vegas the night before. I can't imagine her getting on a I mean, she'd have to fly private and getting back for the 500. Who knows how that will unfold. I know the Colts want her to announce one of their draft picks and things like that. So
I would expect her to see the Pacers playoff game. Wouldn't you think that would be the first public appearance and one of the first Pacers like game three?
Yeah, I would assume that.
I would assume that'd be your first public appearance outside of this.
Again, I don't think she has any Team USA responsibilities. By the way, we need to get a little Team USA chatter with Tyrese Halliburton here. Upcoming as well. I know they just had a camp over the Final Four that she had to miss. So plenty more on Caitlin Clark. We'll play some clips from her last night. Again, Lynn Dunn joined us at 9. Rick Carlisle in his usual 8 o'clock spot. I would say, Andy Sweeney, the national update on Giannis Antetokounmpo was a good one for the Pacers. I know there's no way to say that without sounding rude, I guess, about Giannis's situation. But it does not sound uber optimistic about Giannis playing on Sunday.
No, it doesn't. And then yesterday, we'll play this sound as we go today. Stephen A. Smith was on ESPN, obviously, yesterday and talked in, you know, pretty much in depth. I cut about 35, 40 seconds of it, KB. I don't know if you heard it. He was pretty in depth on Dame Lillard being extremely unhappy in Milwaukee. Of course, this is a guy that wanted to go where? If you remember back in the offseason, where did he want to go?
So Miami.
He wanted to go to the Miami Heat. Everyone thought he was going to go to the Miami Heat. Remember when the reports came out? In fact, it was like, okay, so we're just going to do that. He's going to say, I want to go to the Heat. And everyone's just going to, in the NBA, just pull strings and push their own team aside to orchestrate to make sure that Dame Lillard gets from Portland to the Miami Heat. It didn't happen. He went to Milwaukee. You can make the argument Milwaukee did not get better. And then you mentioned the update on Giannis. You combine that with the unhappiness of their other superstar in Damian Lillard. And I continually will tell you, I love the fact that the Pacers here have a chance to really put the stake in the heart of the Milwaukee Bucks, because Milwaukee will have to fundamentally change and rethink what they do here with Giannis and with Dame going forward if they lose in the first round and lose to a team that has owned them this season in the Pacers. And a team, by the way, that is a young team, an upcoming team, a team that I'm sure Milwaukee feels like isn't full of stars. So we can dive into that. I have a thought on Chris Ballard as well. I was listening to Stephen Holder yesterday. He was on with JMV in the 5 o'clock hour. He said something. You said something similar. Then he said something yesterday, and it kind of clicked in my mind. So I want to get to that. And then Cooper DeJean, our guy, the Iowa defensive back, going to join us at 8:30. We'll do our Colts on the clock segment, and of course at 8 o'clock, Rick Carlisle joining us. Cannot wait to talk with him. I wonder if he'll be feisty like he was the other night. Sunday Sunday night after they clinch the playoff spot.
Series odds, if Giannis plays in the series, Vegas has pegged this as a 66% chance that Milwaukee wins the series. If Giannis is not healthy, the Pacers are the favorite, 60% chance to win the series. You brought up Lillard. He was really poor in, I would say, easily the majority of the five games these teams played against each other. Obviously, the Lillard with Giannis and the responsibility there is going to be a lot different if Giannis is indeed out. The exact phrasing, there's some real doubt for Giannis's status to begin the series on Sunday. That was from Shams Charania yesterday. And I do think on several levels, this is obviously good news for the Pacers. You know, in Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith, I think those are at least guys that can kind of defend a two or a three. But it's always been, how do you defend the four? Right. Or, you know, if you want to label Giannis as that, you know, Thad Young had some success. But remember, before this season, the Bucks and Giannis have been the absolute daddy to the Pacers. Just dominated this head-to-head series. And I mean, hell, if you want to look at it individually, Giannis has had huge games against Indiana.
Yeah, what did you say? He's like 43-13? Yeah, something ridiculous.
It's just crazy what he continues to put up. But I do think if you get into the weeds a little bit with this injury, Andy, if you win game one and Giannis doesn't play, doesn't that ramp up the pressure for him to feel like he needs to play game two? Then all of a sudden, game two is an absolute must-win for the Bucks.
Right.
Does Giannis push it? And we're talking Achilles, calf. We're talking a dude that needs the massive athletic explosion that what his body has gifted him. He's not some guy that can stand in a corner and hit a bunch of threes. He needs to live at the foul line, all those things. So I just think this is a huge, huge deal. It probably goes without saying, but I think when you even go a little bit deeper into the makeup of the series, the fact that the Pacers, you know, you don't want Pascal Siakam having to be on Giannis for 40 minutes night in, night out through the series. I get it's a group effort. I get, you know, it's the wall defense that you play on Giannis, but still, that initial defender takes on a whole brunt of defending, you know, one of the more unique players we've ever seen in the NBA. So we'll continue to monitor that as we inch closer to game one coming up on Sunday. A play-ins start tonight out west. It'll be LA at New Orleans. Winner of that is the 7. Golden State, Sacramento. Winner of that keeps their season alive for one more game. So we'll start to get further locking in of seeds starting out west. It'll be the east tomorrow, and that will help us out get some tip times for this series here coming up later in the week.
Lakers, Pelicans, Warriors, Kings, who you got winning tonight? Gun to head, who you got winning tonight? I'm going Pelicans, and I'm going to go Warriors on the road. How does that sound?
I'll go flip.
Okay.
I'll flip both.
You'll go
that.
Lakers and
yeah.
Kings.
Kings are really banged up, though, right?
I believe they are, yeah.
I just love Sabonis.
I know you love Sabonis. Big Sabonis fan. I like that shirt, by the way. Mine doesn't fit me too well. It's not flattering.
Well, we got these when Grace Berger and Lexi Hall were in studio with us.
Yeah,
so
they're nice.
Again, Lynn Dunn going to join us coming up at 9, and Rick Carlisle in his normal Tuesday slot, even though the playoffs are here. That'll be at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a Caitlin Clark Tuesday. We'll be talking a lot about that. What did it sound like when Clark was drafted last night to the Fever and all of her sound? We'll dive into it next. Your morning check down, Rick Carlisle at 8 o'clock. You're listening to the
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Wake up call 93.5-107.5 The Fan.
Quite the back-to-back days inside of Gamebridge Fieldhouse. Sunday afternoon, the Pacers tie a franchise record in points scored. They clinch a playoff spot for the first time in 4 years, as Caitlin Clark mentioned right there. And then on Monday night, of course, we saw the scene inside of Gamebridge Fieldhouse for the announcement of Caitlin Clark, the number one pick to the Indiana Fever. To talk more, mostly Pacers, but we'll certainly begin with the Caitlin Clark question. He is the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, continuing to join us here as we transition into playoff mode. He is Rick Carlisle. Coach, obviously I know you are, you know, pretty locked into what you guys are doing over an 82-game season, but what have you witnessed with the Caitlin Clark hype over the last few months?
Oh, man. It's just it's been a phenomenal ride for anybody that's followed women's basketball. And, yeah, her thing on Saturday Night Live was so great. And, you know, here's someone that is just going overboard talking about how great it is to play in Indianapolis in the Midwest. It doesn't get any better than this for Pacers sports and entertainment. And so congratulations to the Fever, to Lynn Dunn, to Christy Sides, and obviously Mr. Simon. You know, he's also the longest tenured WNBA owner in the entire league. And so this is really exciting stuff.
Rick Carlisle joins us here. It's a Tuesday on the Fan. He joins us on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, I want to dive into your team. I found it interesting. I found myself shaking my head yes at you on Sunday in your post-game press conference. You guys take care of the Hawks and you lock in the number one seed. But I thought you were very forceful of, hey, this first half, we did not play very good defense. You seemed unhappy the way your team played, but then you rebound it and you played better in the second half and you were happy about that. And I thought your message was great. It was, hey, it's great that we're in the playoffs. We want to be here, but we want to take hold and grasp this opportunity and do something with it. I'm not saying you played bad cop on Sunday night, but I thought you were forceful in, hey, we're not the little old Pacers. We can go and now we can go win in the postseason. Why did you have that frame of thought after your team locked it up and you guys got that big standing ovation when you left the floor Sunday night?
Well, it sounds like that was my evil twin. That wasn't really me. I'm usually very jovial, as you guys know. Listen, I'm really proud of our guys, our group, our franchise. You know, we had to do an awful lot to clinch that spot. We had to win a lot of important games. Not all of them were down the stretch. A lot of them were in November and December and January. And winning 4 out of 5, you know, beating Oklahoma City at home, beating Miami at home. You know, certainly the game against Atlanta to clinch was a big one. You know, the game in Toronto was no joke. I mean, we were down 10 at the end of the first quarter and had to get things together, and we did, and that was great. So I'm really thrilled that this franchise is back into the playoffs. But I think it's important to remind ourselves that you know, dreams are very important in life, and you got to have dreams. And the dream, my dream for this franchise is to become an NBA champion at some point. And, you know, obviously you got to get to the playoffs before you can win in the playoffs. But I'm really thrilled for the organization to be back in. And now, you know, we've got a lot of work to do.
He is Rick Carlisle. Game one coming up on Sunday up in Milwaukee. Rick Carlisle joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, obviously you faced Milwaukee 5 times this season. They're in your division, but you haven't seen them in over 3 months. It's rather absurd to kind of go down the list of things that are different for each team since the last meeting. Can you take much from any of those 5 games? Like, how much do you dive into that considering all the changes for both teams since?
You dive into everything, obviously, and, you know, we look at all those games and we look at a lot of their recent games as well. But you're right, it's, you know, both teams have changed dramatically. We've made pretty big trades, you know, when Buddy was traded. And then there was a shift in our direction, you know, to a certain degree. And then, you know, they've had a coaching change, and, you know, a lot of things are different there. I'm sure there will be a lot of talk about a lot of things, but, you know, that may have happened earlier in the season. But Right now, it's important that we, you know, ignore all the unnecessary noise and focus on the things that we need to do to be successful. And that is, you know, to do everything possible to be a consistent defensive team. One of the things in the Atlanta game that was difficult was you give up 72 points in the first half and then 43 in the second. And that's two different teams. And so we've got to get the wheels back on the wagon there and do everything we can to prepare to be consistent against a great Milwaukee team. Forget about whatever struggles they've had. You know, that is a championship team, a championship organization. There'll be a lot of speculation about Giannis's situation, you know, going into this. I expect him to play, and I expect him to play game one. I mean, they've got an extra week here to get him ready. And if he doesn't play, then we'll have a plan for whoever is available, you know, if he doesn't. But, you know, we've got to really focus on the simple things that have made us a special team this year and embrace the opportunity.
Rick Carlisle with us here on this Tuesday on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, you mentioned Giannis and you expect him to play and even play game one. And I'm basically with you. If he can get out there, you have to think that he's going to play. But getting ready for the series, not knowing, and I'm sure you're not going to know up until maybe even game one, is it like having two game plans, or can you basically just do you? And if he plays, he plays. And if he doesn't play, then you'll attack them differently and you'll be ready for it. Is it to get a different game plans, I guess?
Got to be ready for all scenarios. Those are obviously two very different ones, and you know, we'll do that. I mean, we've got a long week here. You know, they're a veteran team. They're probably a little dinged up. We're not as veteran as they are, but we've got a few aches and pains too. And we've got to use this practice time intelligently to make sure that we're doing everything possible to get the correct amount of rest and, you know, rehab, and to maintain and try to even enhance our conditioning a little bit, because we need to play fast. I mean, that's who we are. And so, we'll go through the different scenarios, but it's important that we don't overcomplicate what we're doing this week. You play 82 games over a 6-month period, and you got to be careful about, you know, coming up with notions that you're going to, you know, reinvent something about how you do things. We need to do the things we do well, and the things that are that haven't been necessarily strengths, we've got to work on those and strengthen those.
He's Rick Carlisle, a 12-win improvement for the Pacers from last season. They will play in the postseason for the first time in 4 years coming up on Sunday. Coach, frequently you hear it come playoff time, the rotations get shorter, and maybe you don't utilize as much of your bench. Is that something you typically adhere to, and does it just add up to there's more time in between games, or why do you think that seems to be a bit of the norm for teams across the league?
Well, we'll have to see. I haven't determined anything like that at this point. Our depth is one of the things that has been a calling card for us, and we're going to preach that everyone needs to be ready. One of the things I liked about the Atlanta game was that a lot of guys got a chance to contribute, get some rhythm, and be a part of it, you know, headed into a long week. So, yeah, and, you know, the reason people talk about this is that in nationally televised playoff games, you have 3.5-minute timeouts as opposed to 2-minute, 25-second timeouts. It's a huge difference. There's the opportunity to play your better players longer minutes without necessarily them getting the same kind of fatigue. So that's something that you're going to have some reviews. You know, we saw this in the in-season tournament. There were challenges, there were reviews. That adds another 2, 3, 4 minutes of rest to, you know, a regular game. And so, the fatigue situation becomes different. So I mean, no, those are some of the reasons people talk about those things. But with our team, we'll have to see as we get into it. You know, I have a great level of confidence in our entire team. Our guys have stayed ready. We've seen everybody from, you know, 1 through 15 on our roster have to be ready and go in and perform and do it very well. So, you know, this is a big week. This is a fun week. You know, this is a time of year where, you know, there's a level of excitement, and, you know, there's some nerves, and that's great because that's what it's all about.
Rick Carlisle with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, I want to go back to something you just said. I don't know. You talked about, hey, we need to go out and we need to play fast. And we know when you guys are getting stops and you're not, you know, taking the ball from under the basket, you get those stops, you can get out and you can play fast offensively. We know how good you guys can be. I always feel like, and I don't know if this is true, this is why I'm asking you, the NBA playoffs, everyone always puts in our head that it becomes much more of a slowdown game. It becomes much more of a half-court game. Do you believe that to be true, and how do you guard against kind of teams that may want to slow you down, and we know how much you want to speed things up, how good you are when you speed things up? Is that true, that the NBA playoffs slow things down?
Well, it's certainly a widely accepted perception. What we need to do is we need to really focus defensively this week. The more stops we get, the better we can push the pace and play the way that we want to play. Now that said, when Milwaukee scores, we have a plan to get the ball out quick and get it over quick. I mean, if we can get the ball over in 1 or 2 seconds, even after makes, It gives us momentum into our offense. It provides more time into the clock to keep the game moving. And, you know, I'm not telling any state secrets here. I mean, you guys have been watching this all year long. And so, that's going to be what we're going to do. And, you know, we got to this point, playing a certain style, having a certain mentality and a belief in each other. And that has only strengthened as the season has gone along.
He is Rick Carlisle again. He is with us here as the Pacers start to ramp up their preparation for the Milwaukee Bucks Game 1 coming up on Sunday. Coach, I was I think I heard this at practice a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last week now, that when Tyrese got here, Tyrese wanted the Eastern Conference standings up on the wall. Is that something you could maybe elaborate on? And do you think that kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm over putting too much into it. Did that like kind of send a message to the guys of like, I get that, you know, the regular season success hasn't been as abundant here as of late, but we need to start thinking about what the standings look like, what the playoffs look like, and experiencing April, May, and maybe even June basketball?
Yeah, I never heard that. We do have a standings board in the practice facility, and one of our facilities directors, I noticed, has, you know, he keeps track of the standings and puts, you know, the gold, you know, Pacers thing where it is. It's obviously sitting in 6 right now. Yeah, I don't pay a lot of attention to standings. I'm more process driven. I've talked to you guys about the fact that I don't look a lot at statistics. I very much look at body language and, you know, how guys look as they work on their game, as they step into shots. And one of the things, you know, I think I told you guys a story during the year, you know, might have been 6 weeks ago. TJ McConnell hadn't shot very many threes, and he was shooting some before one of our prep sessions. And I just said to him, look, you know, you know, I don't look at stats, and nobody cares. You know, what happened in the past and what may happen in the future is irrelevant. You know, what matters is what happens right now. And I said, you know, you shot the three at over 40% last year. And what you need to do is, if there are, you know, opportunities for you to step into shots, just go ahead and take them. Because if you free yourself up to do that, you'll have a chance to get on a roll. And in these games, 3 points here or 3 points there are really big. And interestingly, you know, he started to gradually started to shoot them more. And he made three in the last game of the season. And, like, I guess since the All-Star break, he's shooting a very high percentage. So, look, that's the key as we head into this. You can't worry about anything that's happened prior to this. We can't look to anything that may or may not happen in the future. It's all about staying present, staying in the present, and just preparing yourself to compete at the best level that you can compete at.
Rick Carlisle joining us here on this Tuesday, 8 o'clock. Hucky has all season. Pacers, get ready. It's going to be a long week, Coach, as we wait. Maybe not for you, but for us to wait around all the way to Sunday. Got to ask you, you know, yesterday news came out, not a surprise, that Tyrese Haliburton, one of 11 of 12 roster spots have been announced for Team USA, the Olympics coming up in late July. What does that mean to Tyrese to be on that team, and what kind of growth as a player can he undergo playing with all those great players in Team USA?
All right, so I got to be careful how I, you know, couch this response to this question. I anticipated it, and I talked to some people from USA Basketball last night. This news is news of the roster is expected to come out later this week, possibly Wednesday. Okay, that's
gotcha.
That's one thing. So if Tyrese is selected, if he's selected, I would congratulate Grant Hill for such a great selection. You know, Tyrese fits into any team, you know, at any level, at any time. And with the people that have been rumored to be on this team, he's the ultimate connector. You know, and he has zero ego about, you know, who he is as a player. He just wants to win, and he wants to have fun, and he wants to engage teammates. So, you know, if indeed this happens or did happen, phenomenal get for USA Basketball. And again, you know, people should probably follow USA Basketball social media tomorrow at some point, probably earlier in the day than later in the day. And there may be some very interesting social media stuff that may confirm this.
Oh, I think I'll be locked in then.
I think we
Team
will.
USA yeah. social calendar.
That's a good
tease. I don't know that we can call this breaking news.
No, as such,
but. It's a conversation that borders on it. So
maybe
there you go.
Get a regram from Rick Carlisle's Instagram account. Maybe.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Team USA.
Breaking news from 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
There with the coach.
The big voice.
We will keep our eyes on that. Coach, obviously, your comment Sunday told a lot. I know that you've got bigger goals, and very understandably, it's a great opportunity coming up on Sunday, but 25 to 35 to 47 wins is nothing to just all of a sudden totally discredit. Hell of an accomplishment. Really looking forward to seeing how you guys play in this playoff series. And thanks for helping deliver playoff basketball back to the city and the state.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you to Mark Dykton for that open. If Caitlin Clark uses the word excited, I'm a little nervous maybe to ask our next guest, Lynn Dunn, how she would describe her level of excitement from last night. The scenes in the war room were outstanding. At one point, it looked like some sort of toast was going on in there late into the night. The one and only Lynn Dunn joins us now. Coach, describe your level of excitement, if you don't mind.
Well, I think you noticed there was some champagne flowing around the room, so we were celebrating, absolutely celebrating a thrilling moment.
I absolutely love that. Your energy, obviously, is second to none. Was there a moment, and this might be very early in the process, where, it could have been early in Caitlin Clark's career at Iowa, where it hit you like, this is different. Like, this is this is a level that I don't know if I've seen in the women's game, or if I've seen it, it hasn't been for quite some time. Was there a moment that you were kind of struck by that?
I think so. When you saw the attention she was receiving as she was breaking all these records this year, you know, she was breaking Kelsey Mitchell's record, then she was breaking Kelsey Plum's record, and everybody was talking about it. And I mean, everybody. People were even betting on what day she would break the record. And then when she chased Pistol Pete Maravich's record, I think that just kind of sent everybody over the top of like, wow, this is really unbelievable. And I think those, as she chased those records, in my mind, I was like, what? I've never seen anything like this.
Lynn Dunn joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. I got to ask you this because it was brought up. You know, we've had John, but you've had to kind of dance around just naming her, right? And just openly talking about Caitlin Clark.
She would dip her toes in the water a little bit.
Exactly. You could dip your toe, but you couldn't just give us the entire answer. And I found you said this last night, and Coach Sides said this as well, that, you know, maybe it was like 50-50 whether Caitlin was actually going to come out this year. She could go back to Iowa and make a lot of NIL money. When you saw the tweet, because you were the first one, when you saw the tweet from Caitlin that she was going to put her name in the WNBA draft, what was that moment like? And then Coach Side said you texted her and you guys had a back and forth. What was that moment like when you told Coach, hey, Caitlin Clark's going to be available here in a few months?
Well, it was the last day of February. I'll never forget that day the rest of my life when we saw that she had declared for the draft, because the minute she declared, we knew exactly what we were going to do. It was well done. It was overdone. It had come undone. We had done it. We're taking Caitlin Clark, but we were told by the league to keep it under wraps until the draft last night, and you know, not do anything to try to adversely affect her senior season. You know, be respectful, and we did that. But we knew exactly what we were going to do, so then we could start focusing on draft pick number 15 and 27 because we knew what we were going to do at one.
She is the Hall of Famer, WNBA champ. She is the GM of the Indiana Fever, the one and only Lynn Dunn with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Coach, I guess, I don't really know a great way to ask it, but like, how do you prepare for her celebrity? Do you do things differently? I mean, there's a whole lot, obviously a tremendous player, but there is a whole lot off the floor that comes with this. I would say mostly good, but like, how do you just start the preparations when you guys are playing in less than a month for everything that comes with the Caitlin Clark experience?
You know, that's a great question. And we've never been down this path before. We can't draw on past experiences, you know, but I can tell you this, we will surround her with a tremendous amount of support, resources, security. You know, we'll make sure that she's taken care of, and we'll slowly and deliberately go down this path with her agents, with her family, and with all the resources that we have at Pacer Sports and Entertainment. I'm just thrilled that how excited and supportive they are about what we're doing with the Fever.
I loved it. On several occasions last night, Caitlin Clark made it very clear, get your tickets now. Midwest people, Big Ten country,
oh, yeah.
Get your tickets now. Those in Assembly Hall that booed me, get your tickets now. Can you speak at all to the ticket ramifications? I know you guys averaged, I think it was around 4,000 in attendance last year. Any idea what your ballpark number looks like for this season?
Well, all I know is the day that she declared for the draft back in February, the tickets blew up. And ever since then, they've been consistently selling. And then last night with the draft, I have no idea what happened in the last 24 hours. I feel sure we're really headed to some major sellouts.
Yeah, there's no doubt. What was it, KB? Fanatic said they sold out of all of her jerseys?
In an hour.
In an hour. So, Coach.
Now, that is stunning.
Yeah.
Every time I turn around, I'm using the word stunning. When I saw that all the sizes, all of them sold out, you know, like in an hour. And then for us to have 10,000 people in Gainbridge last night just for the draft party, I'm like, whoa, what is going on here?
Yeah,
10,000 people to watch TV.
Yeah, there's watching TV. It was the scenes there were absolutely fantastic. Lynn Dunn with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline on this Tuesday on The Fan. Whether this be on the floor, off the floor, a combination of both, what will be her biggest challenge, do you think, in year one going from college to the professional ranks?
Well, it's always the adjustment for both the NBA guys and the WNBA guys, the physicality of the game. You know, you're 21, 22, and you're playing up against players that are 28, 29, 30 that have been in the weight room. You know, so adapting to that physicality, the pace of the game, it's faster, it's quicker. Everybody's good. You know, there's no weak links there. So just adapting to that. But I think she's uniquely prepared for that because she's so physically strong.
Coach, I would say one thing that kind of struck me in watching much more of her this season was honestly the passing and the vision. Like, you know, we certainly see the SportsCenter highlight reel threes from the volleyball line and all of that. But wow, I was just, you know, I thought it reminded me a lot of Steph Curry, if I'm to be fully honest, of just the ball handling and the passing and the vision. Like, I guess, could you speak to her just kind of as a player outside of obviously the extraordinary, you know, 30-footer she's able to knock down on a routine basis?
Yeah, I think that's the key thing about her that makes her even more special than just a scorer is her vision, her passing ability. She does remind me of Curry. She also reminds me of Sue Bird, who is one of our all-time greats in the WNBA. They see the game a couple of seconds ahead. They know where the player's going to be, and they're able to put the ball there for them. And let me tell you something. That's a gift. Not very many people have that gift. And so we're excited about how she's going to make everybody else better on the floor. Kelsey Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston, Melissa Smith. You run, she's going to get you the ball.
Coach, I dream about playing Augusta National with Tiger Woods. Did you sit there last night and dream about some of those names you just mentioned playing with Caitlin Clark?
Well, I tell you what I'm worried about is finding me a seat in the arena. I'm afraid they've sold my seat. So I got to get in the building first. Yes, you know, a lot of people have kind of compared her a little bit, the phenomenon and all the excitement to when Tiger came on the scene. You know, this just kind of overwhelming, wow, wow, wow. And that's kind of what we're feeling right now.
Lynn Dunn with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. You know, I ask you this, and obviously your season has not started, and when it does here in a few weeks, you guys will have a true identity, and we'll find out more about the team and how Caitlin fits in and making Aaliyah Boston and others better and making their job easier, quite frankly. But you all are going to have so many new people, even in this state, consuming your product. You know, if someone is consuming your product for the first time here in a few weeks, what do you hope they see with the DNA here of the team that you built?
Well, I think they're going to see a franchise that's always been committed to being as competitive as possible. We'll never quit. We'll play hard all the time. We'll be fun to watch. And then we're also going to give back in the community. We're going to be extremely committed to doing everything that we can to stay connected with the community. And that's a value of Pacer Sports and Entertainment.
Coach, I definitely want to make sure we gave you the chance to talk a little bit about your other two draft picks from last night, some Big Ten flavor on the defensive end of the floor there in round two, and then SEC country there in round three for you.
Well, we love the Big Ten, and we now have three Big Ten players. It's a rugged, physical, tough conference, so anytime we can get a player from IU or Ohio State, you know, we're thrilled. Celeste Taylor brings us a defensive intensity that we need, and then we picked up another tough player from the SEC, which is a great conference, another long, strong, physical guard. And so we think those two added to our camp will really make it competitive.
Coach, I don't need to remind you of this. And again, Lynn Dunn with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. I don't need to remind you of the playoff drought, but I guess we'll end with this. Do you believe this is a playoff team in 2024?
I thought last year we were a playoff team, and we were challenging down the stretch for the playoffs, and then Alyssa Smith got hurt, and that kind of bad news, she got hurt. The good news, it thrust us back into the lottery, so here we are. I definitely think this is a playoff potential team. If we stay healthy, everybody clicks and connects like I think we will. Get us in the playoffs and watch out.
Coach, last time we talked to you, you were in a bit of sorrow because your Wildcats had just lost to Oakland in round one of the tournament. I would say vibes are slightly different here on this Tuesday morning with us, correct?
You would have to bring up the Wildcats, wouldn't you? The good news is the Wildcats have gone in a new direction, and they've got a new coach, men and women, and I'm excited for them again. Way to go.
I mean, that scene in Rupp Arena on Sunday, that was like a tent revival, Lynn. That's what it was.
Well, that doesn't surprise me a bit. 22,000 in Rupp Arena for a press conference. But, see, that's bringing Mark Pope back home.
Honestly, similar scenes we saw in Gainbridge Fieldhouse last night, and sounds like we are going to be seeing quite often this season. Coach, congratulations. Always enjoy our conversations. I know it's been a long journey, and it seems like there's some great pieces in place to speed this up and get it back into the postseason, like you just said. So, thank you for the time.
Yeah, just like Caitlin Clark said, you better get those tickets. You better get them quick.
We'll be plugging it, Coach. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a great day.